This is Alex. I'm from Boston.
Hello, this is Jackie, and I'm from Houston.
Hey, this is Rahul from Stanford.
And we are the Premier Chefs.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Premier Chelsea, your source for all things Premier League, but starting with Chelsea first. Coming to you on your speakers and headsets, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I'm one of your hosts, Jackie, and I'm here with my good friend and co-host, Rahul. And Rahul, before I intro it, I was going to say all things championship, because that's how things are looking lately in the Chelsea world, not Premier League. But before we get into the drama of that, how are you doing, my friend? How are you preparing for the holidays?
I'm doing pretty good. Holidays are right around the corner. When we say holidays, for all of our non-US or American-based listeners, we're talking about Thanksgiving week here in the US, which means we have a couple of days off and a longer extended weekend coming up. And so just spending time with family, shopping a little bit, and getting ready for the Premier League weekend.
That is the best way to do it is get a little bit of downtime, eat some good food, spend time with family, and then Chelsea come back to bring your heart rate back up, because the last few games have been fantastic. They've been full of excitement and energy, and so I'm hoping we continue that way. But I alluded to the fact that we need to talk about the championship, and if you've not heard some of the news, you're probably scratching your head wondering, why is he talking about the championship? I know we've not been great this season, but we wouldn't get relegated for sure. But Rahul, if you want to share some of the news, or maybe some of the rumors around news that's coming out of the Premier League, and specifically around Chelsea as well.
Yeah, so, I mean, we're in the international break, right? So every little thing turns into news. But this wasn't a little thing. This was a definite announcement, a definite move from the Premier League to dock Everton 10 points for breaching financial fair play rules. And that basically puts them from 14th down to 19th. And some of the wins that they've picked up are now basically gone because they've lost those points. And they start off from being in the relegation zone and start off again. The good news for them, I guess, is they do have time to make it up. And they have displayed this season that they have the togetherness within the group, and they are playing some decent football and picking up points. So at least on that side, they seem to be heading in the right direction. But yeah, as a club, losing 10 points is major, right? I think if we look at where we would be, we'd be down to 6 points. And before we started, you and I were joking that the rumors are even a lot heavier for Chelsea. But let's kind of just break down what happened with Everton and how it relates to Chelsea and Man City and even Spurs from the latest news that I've seen. So I'll do my best. Of course, I am going to be sharing it the way I understood it. But basically, when we say financial fair play, it's profitability and sustainability rules, or as the Premier League likes to refer to as PSR, for the season ending 21-22. So immediately, Everton fans could point to COVID and say, well, COVID happened in 2020. There was no fans. The impact of financials was significant. But basically what the Premier League is saying, even with all of that taken into account, they were given a threshold of £105 million in which they couldn't exceed as losses. And they made it to £125 million. Estimated. And so they were over by about 20 million pounds, to which the Premier League, the FA, came in and decided that their punishment was 10 points. So now how does that relate to Chelsea, right? And Chelsea themselves are under investigation, not because the Premier League found something, but because Todd Bowley, the new ownership group, reported themselves and said, hey, when we were doing our assessment, when trying to buy the club from Roman Abramovich, we found certain things that don't seem correct, don't seem right, don't seem the way to do or run a business or a football club. And so they reported that and basically brought this investigation upon themselves. And so the Premier League are investigating Chelsea for, I believe it's from 2012 to 2019 under Roman Abramovich. And there's certain payments that were not part of the official accounts, things that ultimately benefited Chelsea. And if I'm not wrong, I believe one of the transfers that we took away from Tottenham, I'm not going to mention the player because I may be wrong, is within question of this, and maybe some payments to agents and all of that. So, it is a concerning time as a Chelsea fan. I see a lot of people, rival fans, not Man City, but others celebrating and saying, well, imagine what will happen to the oil-rich clubs, which are Chelsea and Man City. But it's all hearsay at this point. There's an investigation. Man City, for example, have 115 breaches against them, Jackie, and they've already stepped up and said, we'll fight all of them. It's not true. Yeah. UEFA had put a 2-year ban on them. That was overturned. So it's really difficult to say how things will go. But if we are to go off what happened to Everton, then yeah, it does look glim and sad for us.
Yeah, and you know, you said 115 breaches from Manchester City. I just want to be clear. I think this is all alleged. There's still a lot more investigation that has to go into this. And I think early on, Rahul, you and I can joke and laugh because we're pointing fingers at Manchester City. But when the cards are turned and it's looking at you, you start wondering, what does this mean for our beloved Chelsea? And so while I think it's still early doors, and I do appreciate that our ownership has stepped in and said, let's open up the doors for you guys to come read everything, see everything, decide what you need to do. But we are coming to you almost, I don't want to say it's like an acknowledgement of guilt, but we want to show you what we have in-house so you guys are not coming from the back door from third-party sources. We will open the doors to you. Come in, feel comfortable, read what you need to read. We feel something's wrong, and we want to share that with you, and we don't want that to be an issue. So hopefully that's something the Premier League looks at and says, something is wrong, but this was done under a different ownership. You are now in purchasing a club where you may or may have not known this was an issue. Here's a fine, or here is a point deduction that we find is suitable for this situation. And I do feel for the likes of Everton, Rahul, because I think, no disrespect to Everton, because I do think they're a massive football club, but maybe in terms of Chelsea with the financial power and history in the last at least 20, 25 years, the Premier League will look at Chelsea and say, that is a club that we need for the Premier League status and kind of what we've done. And so maybe Everton gets the short straw in this draw, and it's kind of unfortunate, but hopefully they're able to kind of counteract it and say what they need to say. But like you said, and I think it's the most important thing, it's early days. It is a very unfortunate situation, but if this is to stand, they still have the time. And I do think they have the quality to at least dig their way out of this at this point in time. And we didn't even talk about some of the teams that did get relegated, Rahul, that are potentially going to sue Everton, mm-hmm. saying, because you guys were able to breach FFP rules, that is the reason you were able to stay up, and hence we are now getting relegated. And obviously we all know with relegation comes a lot of monetary loss, a lot of status loss, and players leave the club. So it's a very, very sticky situation, and I think it's going to be interesting to see how it develops over the next few months, weeks, and in Manchester City's case, I'm hearing years, because the length of the allegations that are coming in there will take forever to go through the books and kind of figure out what happened there. So I don't know if there's more to say about this topic, but it is a very, very interesting one, my friend. Very interesting indeed.
It definitely is. And it highlights that on the face of it, right, things look great for any club. Things look good. Even for a club like Everton, when they're escaping relegation, you brought up a great point. Like, you look at Leicester City, you look at some of the other clubs that have gone down, and Everton have managed to stay up. Well, if they were following the rules, and I'm sure anyone that may be listening that isn't a Chelsea fan and is just here for our content, thank you for being here, but they can easily point and say, well, it's kind of sad coming from a Chelsea fan, but Everton may be spending a little bit beyond their means to buy a player or two that helps them stay in the league while Leicester do things the right way. And let's be honest, Jackie, Leicester last season couldn't spend. They even the money they got from Fofana for Chelsea buying him, they barely invested that because they had other issues going on within the club. So, it opens up a whole new box and can of worms for the Premier League to say, we want to do the right thing. We want to acknowledge the wrongdoings of clubs. But at what expense, how long it takes. Man City were accused 6-7 months ago at this point. They've since won a treble. Arsenal have not won the trophy that they wanted to. So there's so many things that happen in the sport over the course of that much time that how do you correct all of that? You can do points deductions, you can do financial punishments, but you can't correct certain things along the way. Yeah, you could strip Man City's titles, you could strip Chelsea's titles. I don't want to focus fully on City, but it's all kind of in the past, and you're making up for the issues. So I would be almost interested to see how the Premier League and even UEFA and just the governing bodies prevent this from happening and are able to put punishments and things in real time. Now, I know it's difficult reporting and all of that. We work in business. We know how all that works. But it's an interesting topic and an interesting time for Chelsea. But not trying to be negative at this point. We are building up some positivity around the club and Pochettino and the boys. So maybe we continue to monitor the situation and report as and when things come available.
Exactly. I think the key thing is that it's early days. I think we wanted to talk about it and share kind of, it is the hot topic at the moment. So we want to kind of discuss some of the key things we have heard and maybe what other people have heard and share our opinions on it. Because none of this is factual till the shoe drops and we kind of figure out how it's going to drop in the next few, like I said, weeks, months, even years. And we'll see how that plays out. But one other interesting piece of news, Rahul, when it's International Week, it's a little slow week, I guess, but we can see what all is going around is the Premier League and the team specifically have voted to allow, and I want to be clear because I'm not 100% sure, it's purchases and loans from clubs that have the same ownership. So to be clear, in the case that I think we all know about, it is Newcastle that's owned by the PIF. And the PIF is one of the biggest funds in Saudi Arabia that owns multiple sporting teams and clubs and things like that. And they own big teams in the Saudi Arabian Football League. There are a lot of players that we know this summer that made the big switch from all across Europe and even in South America as well and came over to Saudi Arabia. A club like Newcastle can now take purchases and loans to bring these players into the Premier League. And obviously the teams voted. They were okay with it. Just want to get your thoughts and feedback on it as well.
I mean, it's an interesting one, right? Because we're not linked to anyone from Saudi Arabia, and we actually ourselves moved a few players on to the Saudi Arabia Pro League. But I think specifically the example that comes up would be with Newcastle, like you mentioned, and it's been reported that their interest is in Ruben Neves, based on what happened with Tonali and him being out for the rest of the season. So they do want to bring someone in on loan. And what better way to do it than with the owners or the body that owns Newcastle also owns maybe some of these clubs in Saudi Arabia. So they could strike a deal under the table or behind closed doors and work something out where Newcastle benefit from it. And again, the implications of that would be Newcastle making top four versus top six or seven and maybe pushing like a Spurs or Chelsea out of that because of doing these kind of deals. But the clubs got an opportunity to vote for it. And last week we heard majority were leaning towards not letting this go through and banning it. Ultimately, that's not what happened. And maybe that did take a few by surprise, but it's just something that could have been avoided that hasn't. And now we have to deal with the implications of it.
You know, I have to be very careful because I want to keep biases out of this. And I think I look at this holistically and I look at what our ownership, Todd Boehly, Bedad, they want to do is a multi-club model. And so we already know that not Chelsea, because we have to be careful, but the ownership group has invested in a club in France. I believe it's Strasbourg, if I'm not mistaken. And so I think voting in favor of this is important because similarly, if we are going to maybe, let's say, buy quality young talent across the world, and by us buying this, I mean the ownership group is going to buy it on behalf of Strasbourg, where these players are going to be there. Maybe they're bought by Chelsea, go on loan to Strasbourg. In a year or so, Rahul, if we have an issue where we have an injury or we have a major issue where we have to find talent, you know Chelsea's going to, or Chelsea's ownership, again, I'm trying to be very careful, are going to encourage us to dip into Strasbourg to go and collect the player we need on loan or maybe buy that player from that team. And so it's similar in the case of Newcastle. The ownerships are the same. I think where the hangup is that the quality and the money that is going to be spent in Saudi Arabia is maybe a little more unrestricted. Maybe they're not, you know, playing to the same rules of having the level of quality there, and you can go then and pick, have the cream of the crop, pick them, bring them in. And it just has to come down to the Premier League and how they see things. Is it Newcastle taking advantage of the situation? Are they loaning 3-4 players from the same club, and the parent club is paying all of the wages? That kind of throws a red flag. A lot of it's still to be seen. Doesn't mean Newcastle is going to do this. I don't know. But again, it's a very unique situation. I take bias out of it because we potentially could be doing the same thing. Manchester City have an ownership model with 3 or 4 clubs around the world, which is another interesting thing. And I'm sure more investors, as they come in, will see that this model is maybe working and will want to do something along those lines. And so maybe these clubs have come in cautiously and said, let's not reject this because we may be in the situation in 3, 4, 5 years where we are in a multi-club model and may want to loan or buy from this sister club, dare I say sister club.
Yeah, and that makes sense. It just, in the short term, like I was saying, with the implications of Newcastle doing what they need to in the January transfer window, other clubs may lose out. But the other clubs also have the resources to maybe go and buy someone else. And I'm not playing the pity card for Chelsea because I do think we will do some sort of business in the January window. But I'm looking at maybe a Villa or, like I was saying, with Spurs, that may not be able to in Newcastle picking up a new player or a fresh player changes things. But the clubs voted. It was down to a fair vote, and it went the way maybe not everyone wanted. And we just have to deal with it and watch how it goes.
Indeed, that's the situation that we're in now. Rahul, let's take a quick break for a word from our sponsors. We'll come back and we'll build up to the team we've been talking about, Newcastle.
Hey guys, the Premier Chelsea is sponsored by Kickoff Coffee. They are a top quality artisanal roasted coffee. In other words, they're Champions League winner and Premier League winner every single time. They deliver fresh bags directly to your home, so you don't have to go to a coffee shop and pick up something. And the best part about them is every bag gives back to soccer charities. 10% of the proceeds go to organizations that use soccer to promote youth social development in the underserved areas. Use our code TPCoffee15 to get 15% off your order. You can order at kickoffcoffeeco.com or check out the links on our social media. Thanks.
All right. International break has been upon us. There have been some crazy results. I think there was one you texted me, 14-0, if I'm not mistaken, Rahul. Maybe you can confer that if or not. I have not followed international football because some of these things are way above me. But I am indeed excited for the Premier League to be back, my friend. And in this time, it's 7th versus 10th. We've already talked about Newcastle a lot in this episode, but we are playing them. It's going to be a tasty fixture. There's some links between Newcastle and Chelsea, notably Lewis Hall in recent terms. He's gone there and he's played a couple of minutes here and there, but a big one for us. Newcastle at home, we are traveling, Rahul. It's been a couple of good games on the bounce, like I opened the podcast with. 8 goals, which is incredible. 8 goals against league leaders, which is even more incredible. So 7th versus 10th, tasty fixture. Your thoughts, and maybe if you want to do a predicted 11, that would be fun.
Yeah, you said tasty fixture, and since Newcastle have come into money, have found the money from Saudi Arabia, they've transformed. And not to say that this fixture for Chelsea was never a difficult one, but going away to Newcastle, we always fancied ourselves. Since this takeover and since Newcastle have come and become a more cohesive unit, it's a tough fixture. It's a fixture where I look at it and I say, I'll happily take a draw from this and just walk away and move on to the next thing. Because Newcastle, with the atmosphere there, with their players hyped up, they've come off a loss against Bournemouth in the last game week for the Premier League. In the last 5, they've won 2 and drawn 1 along with the loss to Bournemouth. So they're in decent form. They do have injuries, and I'll just run through some of their injuries. So I've mentioned...
And Kieran Trippier made it very clear that they had injuries as well to his own fans.
Yes, he did. So Sandro Tonali is suspended, like we mentioned, for the betting issues that he's had.
Yep.
Jacob Murphy's out. Dan Byrne is out. Callum Wilson is out. Sven Botman is out. But they do have some players coming back like Bruno Guimaraes, Miguel Almiron, Fabian Schär, Alex Isak. So they're not down to bare bones like maybe Trippier wants you to believe. But there are injuries within the club. They are also in the Champions League. And they do have a massive fixture against PSG away. following this Chelsea game. So do we expect Eddie Howe to rotate or be a little more cautious with some of these players coming back? I'm not sure, but what I do know is whoever turns up for them, you mentioned Lewis Hall, he's on loan, so I don't think he can play, but there is Tino Livramento, who is on a permanent move to Newcastle and has Chelsea connections, so he can play, and whoever turns up, Newcastle will give us a tough game, and we need to be mentally and physically ready for it.
Yeah, you've brought up some really good points, and I think it's going to be I don't want to say clash. I mean, maybe last year or the year before, you would say clash of the oil money, right? Which is the big oil ownership coming in. And we've actually built it up as that before. But one of the things that stand out to me is you look at Newcastle, and maybe 2, 3, 4 years ago, you listed a bunch of names that were injured. And I say, that's the Newcastle team done and dusted. But Rahul, one thing I've really appreciated about Newcastle is they've signed players in the right position, the right profile, maybe the right quality as well, dare I say. And you talked about players being injured, but the ones you say coming back in, it's like Callum Wilson's out, Isak comes in. And in this case, they lose a midfielder in Wilson, and then Guimaraes comes in. So they've got the depth there. It's up to them to see if they can kind of put that team together to string the results that they need. I know in the last game they were complaining and they've got injuries, but it is a quality squad overall. I mentioned Lewis Hall, obviously he may not be playing this game. But overall, they do have a solid team that can come out and get the business done, especially at home. Newcastle, with the change in fortunes, I will say, has been a much tougher place to go to and actually perform. So why don't we do a predicted 11 on the Chelsea side? Pochettino has become, I don't want to say predictable, but you and I as fans can see the players he's picking are really on merit at this point in time because they are performing. So it might be a quick one, but who do you think is going to start for Chelsea against Newcastle?
I think it would be Rob Sanchez in goal. That's a pretty straightforward one. Reece James at right back. He didn't go with England for the international break. I think ultimately was his choice from what we've heard from Southgate. And that, honestly, I respect because he is in a Euro year where there's a competition in the summer, but he wants to look after himself. And be fit and ready so that he can stay in the Chelsea squad and ultimately in the England squad later in the year. So I think Reece James for me. I was just looking up. I know Brazil and Argentina finished a game which had a lot of issues of their own.
Messy situation. Yeah.
But I just wanted to see if Thiago Silva, don't think he made the squad. So he wasn't playing, which means I do think he does come in back into our 11 next to De Sassi. And then if Levi Cole is fit, then it brings up the age old question of who plays left back. And I think if Cole is fit, he will play left back.
Okay. And that's an interesting one because for Cucurella, and we've talked about it a little bit, Rahul, he's been fantastic for the club. And so it's definitely a hard one with him maybe missing out. But yes, I think Pochettino will prefer Colwell to Cucurella. Talk about the midfield and maybe the attacking three.
Yeah, so the midfield is where it gets tricky, Jackie, because we've seen Caicedo, we've seen Enzo, but they've both just finished games tonight, which is a Tuesday night. They've got to fly back to London, they've got to train, and then make it over to Newcastle. So it will all come down to their fitness and how they feel. But we've seen with these long travels, games in South America, players coming back to Europe for a Saturday kickoff especially, sometimes managers just tend to be safe and not risk them. But I can't imagine both those players not playing. So I think I'll go with Caicedo, Connor as a two in midfield. Maybe Enzo does start from the bench.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one. I think those two in particular have been pretty solid. And no disrespect to Enzo, because I think he plays a part. But you and I have talked a lot about Enzo not necessarily being the Enzo of last year. And I don't think he's been poor. But I think last year we were so poor that Enzo stood out in a poor team. And this year, the players that are being selected by Pochettino, at least in recent games, have stood out. Cole Palmer, Raheem Sterling, Nicholas Jackson. They are doing the business in the front third and scoring the goals that maybe Enzo has taken a little bit more of a reserve seat. So your predictions, he sits back. So we're going to play a 4-2-3-1. Who are the three behind I'm assuming Jackson starts this game.
He does. So Jackson starts up top, which means it comes down to the three. I believe Raheem Sterling.
Okay.
Cole Palmer, of course. Okay. And then that leaves us one spot. And maybe I'm getting excited. Maybe I'm going off of the hype that I've been seeing and some of the players coming back. But if Enzo is rested, I can't see maybe where Nkunku may start. Ooh. Or even a Romeo Lavia. Or honestly, Enzo may start. Ooh. And Lavia comes in. But the both of those players, Nkunku and Lavia, coming back from injury. So it'd be nice to see them. But
yep.
And Jackie, we've not even spoken about some of these players that haven't really featured, like a Madueke, who Cole Palmer can yep. play that number 10. Madueke can play out on the right. I know he was playing for the England under 21. So there are a few options. And as more players are coming back, Pochettino has more to play with and pick from. So it'll be interesting to see what he goes with.
Yeah, you gave me an answer without giving me an answer there of who's going to be on that side. But I think it's fair because I think it's interesting in the last two games that we've performed well enough that you've mentioned Sterling, you've mentioned Palmer, but Madueke's name has been thrown out. You brought in Nkunku to the mix. You even have Mudryk, Rahul, who was doing very well until Sterling kind of picked up his game and Mudryk started making, maybe getting that start that we think he should be getting. So it'll be interesting. I don't know if Nkunku and, you know, the other players will get a look in, given that they've been out for so long. And when I mean looking, I don't think they'll get a start. But it will be exciting to see, let's say he goes with the Mudryk on the left, Sterling on the right, maybe Palmer down the middle. It'll be interesting to see how the game plays out for the first half and then the substitutions. And I'm key about substitutions because I think in the game against Manchester City, Pochettino's substitutions really made a difference to help bring the game forward. Broja wins the penalty. On comes in a couple of other players like Mudryk that bring in the space. So I want to see how that looks in. Rahul, Leslie Ugochukwu is another name that's been almost, we've missed out and forgotten he exists, which is sad, but it means the team is performing well, that these guys are not maybe looked at this point in time. So it'll be an interesting game. I know I want to get a prediction from you, but before that, what kind of game do you expect? We've had four goals against Tottenham. Obviously, they had two red cards. It was a 4-4 against Manchester City, which was a thriller and insane in its own way because it's Manchester City. Newcastle, another tough fixture, seventh in the league. It's an important game for us, but I would love for us to get something out of it. How do you see this game playing out? Is it open-ended? Do we get some goals, or is it going to be cagey?
I think it's going to be cagey. You see Newcastle, and they don't give too much away. I can't even imagine the last time they conceded four, so I don't think we're hitting four again unless there's another chaotic, crazy
12
game.
On the bounce, my friend, 12.
but I do expect it to be cagey. I expect Newcastle to put us under pressure, be backed by their fans. And honestly, I think they want to put what happened in the last game, put it right this time around, because they are in the Champions League this season, like I mentioned. But if they want to be back there, losing points and sitting in seventh doesn't really help them get there. So I'm sure they'll want to give us a tough game, and it's really up to us to perform. But I want to say something, and hopefully I don't jinx it. I feel like we've been performing better away from home. Maybe the Tottenham game, yes, I might be getting carried away, but even after the first 10-15 minutes there, we were the better side before they went down to 10 and then 9. So I just feel away from home, maybe not having the pressure of the home fans, we're able to express and do things a little bit better. But if Newcastle get on top of us, I think it'll be tough. So we need to be smart. We need to be defensively solid and take our chances.
I hear some positive undertones in your feedback there. So I'm hoping you're going to give me a good scoreline prediction. What is your scoreline prediction for this particular game?
I will go for a 2-1 to Chelsea.
Okay. It's a respectable scoreline, honestly, with Newcastle getting a goal. Maybe we come back because Chelsea of this season have been solid and they don't really crumble under pressure. So I will take that. I was spending some time this week talking to some coworkers, and believe it or not, I actually have a coworker that lives and works out of Newcastle. And he's not the most avid Newcastle fan, but I picked his brain and I said, Newcastle versus Chelsea, it's coming up. What's your prediction? And he thinks Newcastle will blow us away. And I chuckled a little bit to myself. I didn't want to fight with him. I was like, this is not the place or time to fight with somebody over a football game. But I chuckled to myself and I said, I don't think Newcastle will blow us away. I think they're having their own challenges. We talked a lot about it in this segment. Injuries, Champions League, lots of things going on where they have to figure it out. I think we are on a positive run of form. I think the confidence in the team is high. I think Nicholas Jackson is doing well for a young unknown striker who a lot of people criticized early in the season. So I'm not saying he will score, but I think overall that we're doing very well for a team like that. Conor Gallagher has impressed me as a Chelsea boy through and through and ready to do whatever it needs to do to run through a wall for Pochettino. So I too, my friend, I'm going to go for a win. I think it's going to be a good day for us. And maybe I'm optimistic, but I'm going to go 3-1. To Chelsea Football Club. And I think that's going to be a fun game to watch, especially after we're full on turkey.
Yes. Yeah. Hopefully the players aren't full on turkey. when you were saying your co-worker from Newcastle thinks they're going to smash us, I was going to say, well, so did the Tottenham fans, so did the Arsenal fans, yeah. So did the Man City fans. So I wouldn't take us too lightly, given what I've seen, especially in the last month, or also against bigger teams this season. So yeah, I mean, if we can get the win, that'd be great. But if it's not a win, I think a draw is the minimum we should be aiming for and walking away from here, because we've built up some positive momentum. And I actually wanted to lead into some of our upcoming games before we wrap this up. So yeah. Newcastle this weekend, right after the national break. Then we have a week. Then we play Brighton in the. Rob Sanchez, Caicedo, Cucurella, Derby, Potter, Derby, whatever you want to call it. Then 3 days later, Jackie, we go away to Manchester United. So the run of tough fixtures doesn't end. And then we have Everton, who we were just talking about at the beginning of the show. And then we go to Sheffield in mid-December. Sheffield at Stamford Bridge, I beg your pardon. Then we have Newcastle again in the Carabao Cup.
Oof.
Wolves away on Christmas Eve, which I know has stirred up a lot of controversy. And honestly, kind of a ridiculous decision from the Premier League to schedule a game on Christmas Eve, especially that far for Chelsea fans. Crystal Palace at home right after Boxing Day, Luton Town away to end December. So a lot of fixtures, but winnable fixtures in my opinion, and against teams that we should be aiming to beat if we have any hopes of making top six or top seven. So we've got to start off right against Newcastle, continue building from that momentum that we've got and the energy against Man City. Because in that Man City game, I felt something. I don't know about you, and I don't know if I shared it in the last episode, but I felt something where the team said, we're not going to be knocked out. We're not going to die here. And they came out with a draw, which I hope they use and continue to build upon, because that could be a turning point for us. So that's my little kind of speech to get the boys going, might get myself going, I guess, for this weekend. Yeah. But the Premier League is coming back and we're in for a fun holiday, not just this week, but the rest of this year.
No, for the end of the year, listen, I'm so excited, Rahul. And I think I'm glad you shared some of the fixtures that came up with the next few weeks that are upcoming for us, because I think, like you said, they're winnable, but I've been talking to some young people lately. And I think the key word here is Chelsea are going to feast. They're going to have just the Thanksgiving feast, the Christmas feast. And by that, I think, we win a couple of games. As Chelsea fans, we start to say, we need to start winning all of these games. We need to feast on these teams and get the 3 points week in, week out. And maybe I'm just deluded, and maybe I'm just excited, or maybe I'm just going to fill up on turkey for Thanksgiving and just say, okay, it is what it is. But I do feel what you're feeling. I do feel the optimism around the club, which is important because, like I said, we tried to avoid last year, but it was a difficult year. It was difficult to go through. We should win against this team, but we get hammered, which is so difficult to take. And this year, the teams that supposedly should hammer us, the Arsenals, the Liverpools, the Manchester Cities, we're getting results against. And so I'm expectant and I'm hopeful that not only with Newcastle we get the result, but the next few games after that and going into the new year, it's going to be positive for us, especially as we go through a fun festive period. I think it's going to be interesting. You say no to Christmas Eve, you and I will tune in. We'll have a lovely night and see what happens from there.
We will, and keeping up with the theme of feasting, let's cook so we can feast. Let's cook Newcastle and then we feast. But that wraps it up, guys. Thank you very much for listening. Please continue to subscribe, like, and follow us. It's at the Premier Chelsea on all podcast providers. and we will be back with a new episode. But until then, stay safe and up the Chelsea.
The Premier Chelsea has partnered with FuboTV. FuboTV is your home for live sports and TV without a cable in the US and Canada. You can watch on all your devices, which means you don't have to miss any of the actions or goals that Chelsea score in the Premier League and Champions League.
You heard that right. FuboTV networks broadcast Premier League, Champions League, and many other leagues and tournaments. So what are you waiting for? Start your free trial today at FuboTV.com/TPC.